Welcome to the Amazon Files podcast, brought to you by Mommy Income, where we help others start and scale businesses on Amazon by taking small, consistent steps. Here is your host, Kristen Ostrander, a 17-year e-commerce veteran who knows a thing or two about building a seven-figure Amazon empire from the comfort of her own home. Surrounded by three energetic kids and a hunky husband, she still has an insatiable desire to see others succeed.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Amazon Files brought to you by Mommy Income. Ask Me Anything special viral virtual event, of course, for talking about Amazon FBA. And you guys have been amazing. I just want to let you know that the questions poured in, and I'm so, so excited to just start rapid fire giving you all the answers to these questions. I'm going to be fast. I'm going to be quick. I'm going to do my best to clarify every question and every answer. If I come to a question that I've already gotten, I'm going to be able to go over that again. If I am just going to get started right away answering your questions. But first, there are some people here that have never experienced the Amazon Files or Mommy Income, so I'm going to tell you briefly about me. I am Kristen Ostrander, founder and host of the Amazon Files and Mommy Income, where we teach people to start and grow businesses on Amazon, specifically with the wholesale bundles system that we've created to be able to give you the best way to research wholesale bundles so that you can survive long-term on Amazon. That is our goal here. That's what we want to help you with, want to encourage you with, but we know people start from here and they go to here, and we want to give you a place to go. So if you're just starting out, this is so perfect for you, but there's so many advanced questions in here. So if you're new, hang in there. If you're not, buckle up, because this is going to be rapid fire, but it's going to be amazing. So I've been in e-commerce for almost 20 years. I started on eBay, moved to Amazon early on, and I have been teaching and training people to start and grow businesses on Amazon since 2014. So that's me in a nutshell and what I do, and I'm here to help you for all kinds of information. Of course, you're already registered, but mommyincome.com is where you find out all the information about starting, growing, and living your business on Amazon. So, okay, I reside in Canada. Can I get an EIN number? Okay, so in Canada, I know that they do things differently in Canada when it comes to EINs versus US. If you're trying to serve in the USA, you're going to need to talk to a business professional about that. I cannot answer all questions about selling in Canada versus selling in the United States, but I know taxes and rules and things like that are different, so you want to check that out for sure. There's also in the wholesale bundles course, there's a section about selling on Amazon and getting your legitimate business license, and some Canadians have put their two cents in about doing that. So if you have the course, you can go there and get it. Okay, how can I know if my bundle is according to Amazon's term? How do I identify brand limits for bundles before I purchase products to create a bundle? So there's not an official brand list that's restricted. So one of the things is if you try to add one of the single items to your cart or to your shipment, and it basically tells you you're restricted or you need permission to list this brand, if you're restricted in any category, you cannot put that item in a bundle. If you're restricted in a particular brand, you can't put that brand in your bundle. If you do, you're skirting the rules a little bit. So like Melissa and Doug is like a toy company. So if you are gated in Melissa and Doug, or you don't have approval to be able to sell that within, you can't sell it within a bundle or single units. So don't try to put it in your bundle to skirt around the rules. We don't skirt around the rules. We pay attention to the rules at all times. How can I track my sales? Tracking your sales is already tracked for you in Seller Central, so you have to clarify that question to know how you want to track your sales. You mean, how do you track your profit and loss? How do you track your expenses? How do you track all those things? Amazon has reports for everything that they do when it comes to fees, taxes, all those types of things. I personally use Inventory Lab because Inventory Lab gives me my profit and loss. I can input my cost of goods within Inventory Lab when I list something, and then every single day, if I want to, I can go in and look at my expenses. I can look at my money. I can sort it by month. I can sort it by day, year, quarter, whatever you want. I love, love, love Inventory Lab, not just because of that. That's one of my favorite things, but also because of the listing and the prepping and all the different things they help you to list and scout and search. I love Inventory Lab. Mommyincome.com/Inventory Lab to learn more about that. I would use that. If not, track your expenses on a spreadsheet. Just say this inventory, this cost, and add it all up. I suggest doing it every single time you get your paycheck from Amazon. If you get something back, track those things. We also, if you're doing bundles, I have inside the Amazon Files Hub, we have a reports, a trends reports. I love trends reports, something I created because I was losing sales because I didn't realize how many things I was sold out on, and I can't trust Amazon. And I didn't want to pay something like Restock Pro that was a lot of money. So I basically created a trends report myself so that I would know for sure what I could do with that and how I knew my own ASINs, how many I sold in 7 days, how many in 30 days, how many I need to reorder. So that's how I do my processes when I'm doing an order, so I know how many sales, so I don't lose my sales. I have a hard time getting started on Amazon. What's the best starting strategy? To list individual items until you get a feel for Amazon, or move right into wholesale bundling? Okay, so Dawn, thank you for the question there. I think that, you know, you seem like you're getting nervous and things like that. Drop shipping, online arbitrage, retail arbitrage, a lot of people start that way. But, you know, I say start first by starting your account and sending a few things in, not expecting to make money, but just to learn the process. As soon as you're comfortable sending a shipment into Amazon, then you know the process yourself and you've labeled things and you know how to send your boxes in and print labels, then I feel like it's time for wholesale. There's no time like the present to be able to start with wholesale. I really, really think that you should be there to pay attention to those types of things. So the best place to get started is just to start. Go to startfbatoday.com, take the course, start now. A lot of people can start, and if they're consistent and they work on it every single day, you could have something selling on Amazon within 2 weeks. You get your verification from Amazon. They're doing video verification now, which is brand new, where they'll verify your identity like face-to-face. You have to show your documents. You have to show your all the different things that you have, and they literally verify your identity through video so that they know that you're a legit person. You have legit paperwork, things like that. And then you can be up and running selling things before you know it. So the best thing to do is just get started. Send something in, books from your shelf, or, you know, just used books are the best place to start because they're cheap. Everyone has them in their house and you don't have to expect to make a profit to just list them on Amazon. You could unlist them and throw them in the garbage later on, but the learning the process is really important. By the way, used books still sell amazing if you're willing to go and source them. Okay, so all right, I'm listening. I have to slow down, but I want to get to all of your questions here, so I will slow down for sure. Okay, what's the best way to buy barcodes? Don't buy barcodes. Okay, so I'll talk about barcodes because this is in here like about a gazillion times. Buying barcodes, you should not buy them unless you, yourself, your company, your LLC, your sole proprietorship, whatever business that you own, purchases them from GS1. Just because a code is registered on the GS1 website does not mean it's registered to you. And Amazon tells you that you cannot put any random a UPC code into a bundle or anything that you don't own, even if you bought them from eBay. You can't buy barcodes from any old place and slap them on your listing or your bundle. That is not allowed. It's illegal, actually. And so they want you to have GS1 certified codes, but GS1 certified codes that for you, for your company, what you own. So if you want to do bundles and you're just getting started or new listings or new products, you can go the legitimate way. They're pretty expensive. But I also heard that in the UK, you can buy really cheap EAN UPC codes or EAN numbers from the UK, and they cost far less than they do in the US, and you're able to use them as an EAN number in the United States as long as you own it and are registered. They're way less expensive in the UK. You can buy a lot more of them, and they're from GS1. They're just not registered as US. For some reason, us hoity-toity US people want to charge so much more to buy you GS1 certified codes. That is a quick and easy way to buy GS1 certified UPC codes that you own, but don't buy them from resellers. Don't buy the lie that someone else is telling you that you can easily list bundles and things on Amazon by buying UPC codes from some other place. You need to buy them legitimately from your company for your company. Now, if you don't want to buy UPC codes, you can get a GTIN exemption in your own brand name. So my own brand name is Kristen's Favorite Things. I'm going to go to Amazon and I'm going to say, hey, I give Kristen's Favorite Things permission to sell Kristen's Favorite Things. We do not use UPC codes, as a lot of our things are custom made, custom packaged, gift boxes, gift sets, things like that. And they don't have, or they're not manufactured with UPC codes. They do have your branded packaging on them, which is something Amazon is going to require and ask you to do. So make sure that you do that. So that's something that you need. What's more important for bundles, good pictures or good listings? Both. You need excellent pictures. People shop with their eyes first and then they go next. And then they start reading. If they, you know, if they don't like your pictures, they're not even going to click on your listing. They're going to be like, oh, that looks like garbage. I'm not going to look at it. Or I don't understand, or I can't see it, or it's too small. Things like that. People shop with their eyes and they usually shop with their phones, right? So they're looking at things that are really tiny. So making sure that your picture, you know, the picture's worth 1,000 words. That is still true to this day, especially on Amazon, especially on the internet. Good pictures are more important than your description, but they probably won't find your picture if you don't have a good title and, you know, it's chicken or the egg. Can I give some advice about business insurance? Absolutely. Go get business insurance. Hello. Did anybody have inventory at the California warehouse that just burnt down? That is scary. Did you know that if you have inventory there and you don't have business insurance, that you're out all of that inventory and Amazon's not responsible for it? They are only responsible for their structure, their pieces, their equipment, their people. So if you don't have insurance to cover your business and your liability, you are very, you're liable. So get business insurance. You only need to insure the inventory that you have, your replacement costs. And liability is for if anybody, you know, chokes and dies on something that you provided, that you have liability to where you're liable for that product. What is the best shipping software? Okay, so I don't know what you mean by shipping software, but the best rates I've found for shipping pretty much anything anywhere is Pirate Ship. If you go to Pirate Ship, you can get almost the cheapest rate that they offer out there. But if you're talking about fulfillment by merchant, you usually have to use Amazon's carrier there and you have to plug in something there. They usually use UPS or the postal service, and you know, you can drop down the menu and fix that there, but you can get that there. Okay, how many units would be advisable to order? The main item is not sold on Amazon currently and would be manufactured overseas. How many units would be advisable to order to see if the product bundle is a success? The lead time on the bundle would be pretty significant, 2 to 3 months. So do extensive research, Philip, that's asking the question. Do extensive research on the supply and demand of these things. If it's not on Amazon yet, but there's search volume for it through Merchant Words or Helium 10, and you're finding search volume, but you're not finding the product, that is opportunity. So making sure, like if you get 2 to 3,000 searches a month on your keywords and no one's providing a product or it's not available on Amazon yet, then you've got a gold mine for you. So whether it's 2 to 3 months or whatever, you can still get that. I would make your investment worth it. So, you know, if you're having something manufactured, they have minimum order quantity. So you don't really get to pick how many you're manufacturing. You know, that's according to your budget, but I mean, I'm just trying something out. I've invented my own product that's private label that's coming out, you know, hopefully in the next month. Cross your fingers. And I ordered 500 because I had to. But would I have probably ordered way less to just test the market? Probably. The problem is, what if it does great? And then you have to wait 2 or 3 months to replenish it. So make your inventory and your investment worth your research and worth your time. If you've done the research and you know it's going to do great, then take the risk. I'm new to bundling. What are the things that trip beginners up with bundling? Most people get tripped up with UPC codes, GTIN exemptions. They get tripped up with not picking the right components because they didn't do the proper research. So doing the proper research to understand what people buy together, what makes sense. Just because things are in the kitchen together doesn't mean they're all used together at the same time. So, you know, I have lots of things in my kitchen. I have a microwave and a garbage can. I have dishes. I have food. I have different things. So making sure that it's a good match by vetting the components. That means looking at all the competitors and looking at what's out there so you can see what naturally goes together. Shampoo and conditioner from the same brand or manufacturer tends to do well together. A lot of people just buy those things in sets. So really think about the components that go and need to go in there when it comes to that. Oh, right. Okay, Nancy, you're awesome. This is a great question. I'm going to skim through it because it's long. So how do you know you're ready for help? I'm exhausting myself, sourcing, prepping, shipping, and all the other things that sellers wear and hats that sellers wear. How do you determine what you would pay somebody to help you? By the hour, by the piece, Okay, first of all, it depends on how your business is set up and how you pay them a 1099. If they agree to a 1099, you pay them cash money, and then at the end of the year, you send them a 1099. They're a contract worker, and they have to claim that on their taxes, and you get to write it off as labor. How you determine to pay them is what it's worth to you. So if you pay them by the piece, it depends on the person and the quality of the work that they do. If they're just trying to do it super, super fast to get through it because they get paid by the piece, you know, that's really, you know, that's going to make them rush and make mistakes. If people are working by the hour, sometimes it slows them down because they think the longer I take, the more I get paid. So what I say is pay your employees really, really well, and they'll stick around no matter what you have them do. So if you pay them well and it's still worth it to you. So I think, okay, I look over the whole day and think, okay, my shipment total was, you know, $1,500. My total profit at the end of it, when Inventory Lab shows me the total profit, my total profit, let's say, is like $2,400, and my cost of goods minus that, what is my profit left over? Then how much do I can pay them? And I'm getting paid, but I'm not doing that work anymore. So I'm not doing prepping and shipping and packing. I got paid that out, but now my net profit equals, I got all that work done and I got $0. So say, let's just do round numbers. $2,000 is your profit. $1,000 is your cost of goods. And so now you're making $1,000 on that. Okay. So you got $1,000 in your pocket and you pay somebody $300 for the day to do that shipment. You made $700 and you didn't do any of the work. You could literally sit at your pool and someone else can prep and pack your stuff, and you can be earning that profit still on that money that you didn't do. So do the math like that and then figure out what it's worth to you. So if your shipment's going to be a certain amount, do it that way. If you pay someone by the hour, it's easier to have them come and go. If you pay them by the item, you know, it's based on per shipment, and that's not necessarily consistent. Sometimes you might have 500 items, some might, you might have 200 items. So they might not appreciate the fluctuation in money when it comes to that. Pay them by 1099. Make sure that they're working out. What if you have an S-corp or an LLC or something like that, you want to get payroll started. That's another thing. That's another incentive to keep somebody working. I want to take this from just trying it into to actually having a legitimate business. What's the first thing you should do? The first thing you should do is make sure you have a separate bank account for your business, that you have a name. You do not have to have a LLC. I'm going to say this again. You want to take this business to the next level. You do not have to have an LLC to register on Amazon. You have to have a social security number, which I suggest you get an EIN instead. And then you do not have to have an LLC. You can be a sole proprietor, and you can also change that later on. So right now, if you're just a sole proprietor and then you switch it to a partnership or LLC or S Corp later on, perfectly liable and legal and fine. You don't have to start there. You also, in at least the state of Michigan, you need a reseller's license, but Amazon doesn't ask you for that number. In Michigan, we need a reseller's license in order to buy wholesale because we're business to business. That's our registered business license, sales tax, use ID, reseller certificate. They're called different things in different states. It basically exempts you from sales tax, knowing that you're selling goods in the state and you don't have to pay the sales tax, but you're also shows wholesalers at your business to business. To get started, all you need to do is have that separate bank account, register with Amazon. They're going to verify your identity. Everything needs to match. So if your name is Lisa and Lisa, you know, Lisa Smith, you know, it's not really Lisa Smith. Sorry if there's Lisa Smith here. Lisa Smith goes into the bank and she's Lisa Smith and she uses the EIN number, and you know, you could have a doing business as. It costs, it's very inexpensive in most states to get it, doing DBA, doing business as. You don't have to use your own name. You can. You don't have to be an LLC. You just have to have the paperwork that you are a legitimate business. Somehow you're starting this business. All your things need to match. You need to register your Amazon account and get started. If you want all those steps and what step to do first, second, third, fourth, and fifth, go to startfbatoday.com. All the steps are there. It's a really pretty simple, straightforward course. That's the first thing that you should do. Okay, what tips can you offer about affordable, small run branded packaging? Okay, so that's a great question. Placeit.net is a great place to get started. You can also go to mommyincome.com/stickermule and get a discount on, you'll get $10 free if you do that. But it's discounted for printing your own poly bag. So if you have a logo, you can print your logo on a poly bag and they can get it to you in a week. So if you just need a poly bag to put your item into, you don't have to have a box. But placeit.net is also the place that you can look. They do mock-ups, they do samples, they do things like that. There's also, in the custom packaging training that we have, it gives you the rundown of what you're going to need to do to get custom packaging. So we have a training about that. Create custom packaging. training. If you have wholesale bundles, guess what? You already have that. You have custom training already. It's in your library. So if you do have that, go look there. And it gives you some ideas. Also, places like Uprint, discount mugs, some of these other places kind of make packaging for you. So look at swag companies and see if also those things like you print for you imprint, for imprint, you printing, things like that. Those places might be able to print you some things. Look at local box companies. The Boxery makes a lot of size boxes and you can get some of those bands, but the custom packaging gives you details of all the files that you're going to need and the people that you need to go to. So check that. You printing, yeah, is a great one. How do you create new bundle listings for brand name products that you can't get a DTI exemption for? Short answer, you don't. Longer answer, you create bundles without using the brand name at all, and you sell the bundle by the attribute, but that means you cannot use their brand name in your listing. Here's an example. If you're not gated, and if you're not ungated, or you need you can't get a GTIN exemption for KitchenAid products, but you're trying to make a KitchenAid bundle, you can make a KitchenAid bundle, but you can never call it KitchenAid. So what's the point? The reality there is you do not have to have major branded items to be able to sell your bundles. I don't sell anything brand name that you guys would like recognize. Like all the stuff is just created by, it's more generic. I mean, I'm not saying it's generic because it's not my brand name, but that's not what sells the items. Attributes sell bundles. It's not about brand names. It's about what people are searching for. So if they're looking for a newborn baby boy gift set, they're not looking for a specific brand. Or if they are, they can look for Carter's or whatever else, but it's not going to be your bundle unless you get permission from the company to bundle and then they give you your own UPC code. That is an option and people actually do it and get permission from brands. It's very difficult, especially the bigger the brand, the harder it is. So don't get caught up in the fact that you have to do that. But if you would like to include something that's Carter's brand in your newborn baby gift set, you can do that and it can be made by Carter's, but you can't name that brand in there because otherwise Amazon is going to say, oh no, you said Carter's, but you're using, you know, Kristen's Favorite Things as the name of this brand because it's a gift set and those things don't collide. And so in most categories, I would say you get blocked. You get that 5665 error because you're trying to list the brands that don't match. So you want to make sure that you're paying attention to that as well. It doesn't happen all the time because I know another question I'm going to see as soon as I answer this is somebody going to say, well, I see it all the time. I see people saying KitchenAid and this and that or Cuisinart or Nike in their bundle, except for it's in their bundle and they use their own brand as the brand, but then they call it out. Well, sometimes things squeak through the cracks. So just making sure that you pay attention to that. Hi friends, I hope you're doing well with adding bundles to your business, but I know it's not always that simple. Do any of these sound familiar to you? You're really excited to start wholesale, but it's been harder than you thought. Maybe you've got thousands of ideas, but no firm direction. Perhaps you're stuck in analysis paralysis and you can't figure out what to bundle. The struggle is certainly real. It's easy to revert back to what's comfortable when things get difficult. The good news is you don't have to do this alone. There are answers to your questions and there is help available. I want to personally invite you to join the Amazon Files Hub community. The Hub is a perfect place to make deeper connections and get the answers and extra training you need to grow your business. In this exclusive membership community, you will receive brand new training and a special question and answer session each month, plus access to all previous trainings since the creation of the Hub. That is a ton of new training you can access right now. You will learn things like brand registry, advanced Q4 tips, what to bundle, how to research on a deeper level, bookkeeping, PPC, and more. The best part, the training is member driven. You get to decide what training comes next. This is where I spend all my time. Come hang out with me and other members who are walking down the same path towards long-term Amazon success. If you need additional support in your Amazon business, this is the place to be. To learn more, go to mommyincome.com/hub. The Hub is reserved exclusively for wholesale bundle students. If you're not yet a wholesale bundle student, don't worry. I have something special for you too. I can't wait to see you inside. packaging course. I've tried to create a bundle, but I got stuck on the 5665 code. What is the next step? So the next step with getting stuck with the 5665 code is to pay attention to all the brands. Register for the GTIN in your brand name, and they're going to ask you for custom packaging. You need to have the custom packaging. You say, this is the brand, this is the packaging, and they're going to say, okay. They're going to usually file that. If it's still filed that way, then you can try to get a GTIN exemption for generic. If your items are not branded and it's not a big deal to do brands, then you can use your own name there and use NA or generic as your bundle. Remember, attributes sell bundles. So you don't, if you're you know, creating your newborn baby gift set, then you don't need to have a brand in there. So you don't have to worry about 5665 errors because you're using not applicable or generic as your brand, and you're just selling it as you're selling the attributes in the bundle. So the people that will come and use the keywords to come to your listing and your bundle listing will be those attributes that sell the bundle. Need to get ungated in some categories. There used to be many companies offering that service, but I can't find that service anywhere. So to get ungated, you have to apply and you have to have invoices from companies. The invoices and your thing need to match exactly. Here is my strategy for getting ungated by yourself without paying people big money to do that. Get a couple of different invoices from a couple different wholesalers. And when I say invoices, I mean make sure you place your order. You have a digital record if it's online and a printed record. Your name, your store name, or your LLC, or whatever tax register that you're in. So if it's Kristen's Favorite Things LLC, that needs to be what's registered on there. Your address needs to match. Everything needs to match, first of all, on the invoice. Number two, it has to be quantities that they would agree are resellable. So if you're buying one or two things at one or two quantities, that's not resellable. That's not bulk. But don't make the mistake of buying one case that includes 48 items, because they're not going to look at 48 items in one case. If it's ordered by the case, it's going to say one instead, you know, one case. And they don't look deep enough to do that. They'll just reject it. Also, buy something in your test order, your wholesale order, in order to get ungated. Buy something that's already on Amazon that's listed as an ASIN, that's not gated, that's not restricted. So go find a manufacturer of that item. Buy that item, even if it's a loss. Why? Because you're spending the money to get ungated. So buy, you know, 20 units of something that's already on Amazon and say, okay, this is my invoice, this is my distributor, this is what I bought, I would like to be ungated in this category, and this is the ASIN I plan to sell. As long as that ASIN's not restricted, you know, don't make that mistake. Then you should be good to go. They should do that. Of course, your results may vary. This also determines, you know, your metrics. How are your metrics? Do you have bad metrics against you? Do you have a lot of IP claims? Do you have products that have done terrible or have had terrible reviews in certain categories? They might not ungate you in that if you've made some previous mistakes. So just make sure that your metrics are there. Can you get started with Amazon FBA in 2020, or do you think it's oversaturated? What about the pandemic, COVID, and other things? Is this a terrible time to start? No. As a matter of fact, this is a great time to start. Why? Because everybody is scared to go to stores anymore. There's so many people. I don't know where you live. I live in Southeast Michigan, and in Southeast Michigan, we were really hit hard with COVID-19. And it's been crazy restrictions. We literally just got let out of our quarantine prisons like last week. For the very first time, I got to go to a real restaurant. I got to. Did I choose to? Yeah, I actually did. I was so excited. We got to sit outside and eat, but there was inside seating too. And it was such a beautiful day. I went to breakfast for the first time in like 3 months. It was great. But people are still scared. People are still at home. People are still ordering like crazy on Amazon. Sellers are selling out. They can't keep stock in. So I think this is a great time to become an online e-commerce seller, because things like this, people are more apt to start buying online and starting to trust Amazon even more. Even the naysayers that have been around or maybe been burned have had to turn to online reselling and selling so that they can buy stuff, you know? So literally, it is a great time. 2020 is the best time. And I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that because, hello, my sales are reflecting that, like all during COVID. Like I know there's people struggling and my heart goes out to them and I feel bad and I want to help. And I actually have been helping, getting a lot of people online that have had brick and mortar stores that couldn't sell anything because they were closed and they didn't have an online presence. It made me so sad. I wanted to help. The reality, though, is that online sales are stronger than ever because people are not wanting to do all the contact. They don't want to go out there for whatever reason. That's totally cool. I respect it. But guess what? People are ordering online and they need sellers like you to continue to bring product to the marketplace. So yes. What is my number one suggestion for new sellers? My number is Stephanie. That's a great question. I love this question. What's my number one suggestion for new sellers? Don't quit before you get started. There's a learning curve to every business. That's what this is. It's not a hobby. It can be a side hustle and that's totally fine, but it is a business. So be legit from the very beginning. Be upfront. Don't listen to 512 different people talk about Amazon. Pick somebody. It doesn't have to be me. I think that'd be awesome if you listen to the Amazon Files and followed Mommy Income. But if it's not me, it's someone else. There's a lot of great things out there. Stay in one lane and do that for like 6 months before you determine whether this is for you or not. Some people try this for like 8 weeks and then like, oh, this is not for me, or I haven't made a dollar and whatever. There's a learning curve. It's a real business. It's also a real business with real income freedom, with real time freedom, with real location freedom. I can do my job right now, my Amazon FBA job. I can do from anywhere on the planet that has a really good, strong internet connection. I don't have to touch my inventory anymore. I don't have to go out doing retail arbitrage and going from store to store and then bring the stuff in my house and scrape stickers and do all that. I don't drop ship. I just do wholesale bundles from my house, but I can do it from Puerto Rico. I can do it from Timbuktu. I can do it at the Super Bowl with the Chiefs. I can do it wherever I want. And so it's literally legit. Stay the course. Do 6 months before you decide you're throwing in the towel, or better yet, a year. But get started. Don't drag your feet. You don't have to start with a ton of money, which is another question I have here. It's not on my feed right now. About starting and what's the best place to get started? How much to invest in your business at first? How much do you need to get started? Honestly, you can do this business and you can start this business for $500 or less, even less. Back in the day, I started with about $100 with your used books. You can still do that. You don't need a ton of bells and whistles to get started on Amazon. I think there's some really good suggestions to get started. If you have something that, like the Amazon Seller app is free and you can scan books with that. If you want to get started with used books and make a few dollars, you got to go pound the pavement, go to yard sales and book sales and estate sales and scan books and do all that. That's still very viable, but it's just a lot of really hard work. It's just how hard do you want to work, in which area? Do you want to pound the pavement and look for books, or do you want to research and do online research and then order things from catalogs? So you pick your poison, but you can start an Amazon business for $500 or less. Leave $300 for inventory, $100 for the Start FBA Today course on Amazon. That, you know, go there, because I think that's a good place to start, because you'll start correctly. You won't have to go back and forth and wonder what the hell you're doing. Start FBA Today course, $100, $300 for some inventory up front to just go buy some things, use some stuff around your house, do all that. And then, just set aside some money for inbound shipping and your first Amazon $40 fee. You can start this business for less than that even, but that's a good benchmark of like, hey, $500 of an investment. How do you know if a supplier is good? I see a couple potential deals. Should I go for it? Eastern, imports, China, like what are your thoughts on that? Okay, so when it comes to knowing a supplier is good, making sure that the prices seem to stand upright. Like, so for example, if you see something that says, Clinique makeup, which don't try to sell that on Amazon because you can't, but if it says that, but then the price is literally $5, you want to question whether or not that's really good, high-end quality, premier beauty items. So making sure that that's legitimate source. Also, most of the time, companies that sell wholesale products don't generally have wholesale in their URL, in their website name. Usually, they call themselves distributors. There are some manufacturers, but most of the time, their website's going to be something that has to do with their brand or what they sell. How do you know if they're good? Don't buy super cheap dollar store. I mean, I don't want to use the word dollar store. There's great bundles at the dollar store, so I'm not even going to say dollar store. But I mean, like cheap Oriental Trading, I guess, like stuff like from there, like, you know, stuff that's like in the little vending machines and the little bubbles that you pay like 50 cents for. Like, don't use those. That is going to cause some major issues. You want to buy good quality stuff. Look at the reviews. If they don't have like a catalog, if they don't have a .com to reach out to, if their website looks a little sketchy, then, you know, dig deeper and find their brand other places. Making sure they have a decent brand presence throughout the web. Legitimate companies usually have quite a bit of legitimate things. If they let anybody and everyone buy from them and they don't make you register with a tax ID number as a legitimate business, I would wonder if they're actually a regular wholesale dealer or if they're in, I know your results may vary, but if they're in like a middleman type of thing. I would like to set up my own website to improve my chances for what my suppliers look like. Can you please discuss how you have handled this and what type of advice you would give? Do you actually see sales from these types of sites? Okay, Shelby. I love you, Shelby. Shelby is awesome. Shelby's actually one of my clients, and I just looked at the name of the person that submitted that, and Shelby. You should just ask this in a hub, Shelby. Like, I know you want to win a prize, so that's totally cool. But like, you set up a Shopify store, but just wait till August because we're going to do like this Shopify store setup in the hub and you can get all the free training for that. But set it up and yeah, you're going to pay like $30 a month, but then you will have a legitimate cart up for sale on Amazon. And then you can tell your suppliers, hey, I have, you know, kristensfavoritethings.com. And I also sell these things on Amazon. I do have my own web presence. I have done this and had this for like 3 years or more now, three, maybe 4 years. Huh, it's been a long time. I have gotten zero sales from my Shopify store, but that $33 a month that I pay for my Shopify store has gotten me more and more wholesale suppliers that usually say no to just Amazon, but it's that, oh, I have my own website too. And this is, you know, and making sure your website looks good. You don't have to pay a lot for that. You can do it yourself. You put in some copy and you design some different things. You know, they do have a lot of templates for Shopify, so it's fine. But I just pay the monthly fee and I never get any sales because I just drive all the traffic goes to Amazon. I don't drive traffic to it. I don't want to do that. But it does show brand awareness for your vendors. It shows brand awareness maybe for Amazon, and Amazon tends to look at that as that. Plus, if you're ever going to get a trademark, knowing that you have the .com in your name, even if it's a Shopify store or have an online presence for your brand, it's easier to get an approved trademark for something that you're already using and you can prove that you're using that. So there's tons of benefits to it, but I would use Shopify and I wouldn't drive traffic to it. I mean, unless you have a really super great niche, I just sell everything on Amazon. With the COVID-19 issues, do you feel the best way to, what is the best way to source inventory? The best way to source inventory is wholesale still. And you can even get your own stuff made in different places, whatever else. But I still think that the best way to source your inventory is wholesale. Why? Because you get quantity discounts because they take all the risk and you can just order as many as you want depending on their minimum order quantities. You don't have to think about all that kind of stuff. You don't have to go in and out of stores for retail arbitrage. Online arbitrage is okay, but it's not as safe. And also, I just get concerned when people talk about retail arbitrage. I know a lot of you guys are still doing it. I have still done it several times, but not usually. Why? Because I get really nervous about inauthentic claims. I get nervous about brands shutting down. I could literally buy a bunch of inventory today and then go to ship it on Monday to Amazon. And by then it could be a restricted brand. And that really makes me nervous to where if it was a restricted brand, but I actually have permission from the manufacturer to sell it or I have invoices, I'm more apt to get ungated or approval to sell that brand because I have legitimate invoices. Your Marshall's receipt, your Target or Walmart receipt is usually not accepted as, it's not an invoice, first of all. So I mean, at your own risk. If you're interested about learning my perspective on retail arbitrage, I just did a recent podcast episode a few months back about that. There's a whole YouTube video and podcast episode about it and what my two cents are about it and some of the risks. I think it's really risky. Is it viable? Yes. Are people still flipping stuff and making money? Absolutely. But I wouldn't risk my entire Amazon account because the potential for your Amazon account is so much bigger than, you know, other platforms. So if you want to flip and resell on eBay, Depop, Mercari, Walmart, you know, there's different places to resell that don't have as many stricted rules as Amazon. So for Amazon, I would be buying wholesale as much as possible, having legitimate invoices, having legitimate business. I don't run scared about getting suspended because I feel like I do everything above board. I'm buying things that I'm putting together myself. I have a legitimate trademark. I have brand registry. I have all the things that I've, you don't have to start that way. Remember, I've been doing this a really long time. And it takes stair steps to get there, but aim for that because it's so much more protection. Retail arbitrage, one false complaint, one, you know, A to Z claim because you're Michael Kors purse that you bought from Marshall's isn't authentic enough for the buyer, even if it is, the proof is in the pudding. And if you don't have invoices, the chances of you being able to sell in those categories or at all is very risky. Okay, how should bundlers deal with the recent announcement from Amazon of how to apply to the GTI and exemptions? We're changing the external Amazon ID. I will not pack availability of anything else. So Amazon has made several changes to GTIN exemptions, to UPC codes, everything else. There are ways around this. Number one is getting your own brand registry. When you have brand registry, you don't need GTIN exemptions. When you have brand registry, you don't have to have UPC codes. That's the bottom line. So put your money and your time and energy towards being legitimate brand. And guess what? Your brand doesn't have to be something like Coca-Cola that everybody's going to search for. It doesn't have to be some big name brand that you're going to put out into the universe and hope. I mean, if you're doing that, that's great too. And there's no holes barred about that. Do it. If you have like a product brand idea or whatever, but then do the work to get that brand noticed. I mean, pay the money to get brand registry, pay the money for advertising, pay the money to get your brand out front, because just having another supplement to sell, just having another something to sell that's just like a lot of other people's and doesn't really stand out that much is not going to get a whole lot of recognition on Amazon. So I would definitely go for brand registry, or do my trick about getting the EAN numbers, the UPC codes from the UK, because you can get a lot more of them for a lot less money. And if it's an EAN number, it's registered globally and you can use it on Amazon.com. So, and you can get more UPC codes and EAN numbers buying from the UK site than you can from the US site, or you can just buy your own GS1 certified codes, and they're expensive, but they work because they're registered to you. So you buy your own GS1 codes. I talked about that earlier. It's one of the first questions I answered. So if you missed it, go back and listen to that. I'm starting trying to figure out the trademark process and how it incorporates into bundle packaging, custom packaging. Trademark, where does your trademark or logo go? Should your trademark brand be the same as your business name on Amazon, store brand name, or something totally different? Okay, let's break this down for a second. Okay, this is a loaded question. Okay, trademark process. So if you're doing it yourself, that's great. That's fine. You're going to need a specimen. So when you send a specimen in, you want it to at least be in use. So what you'll need to do is go through the custom packaging process, find a company, get a sample made, and put it in use on Amazon or on your own website or somewhere else, or eBay, to just show that it's in use so that you can say, hey, I sell under this brand. This is my brand. Your brand does not have to be your store name. Let me say that again. Your brand does not have to be your store name. It can be a different brand. You can register a brand in your name that's Kristen's Favorite Things, and that's not my store name. My store name and my brand name are not the same. So when it says sold and shipped by Amazon or sold and shipped by Kristen's Favorite Things, Kristen's Favorite Things is my store name. My brand is completely different. My brand is registered to me, Kristen's Favorite Things, name of store, name of company, whatever it is. But my brand name is something completely different. If you're just trying to get a generic, when I say generic, I don't mean like Target's generic brand, but Target's generic brand is Up and Up. So it's from Target, but their generic brand name is Up and Up. Okay, so if you're picking a business name, you just want it to be anything. So literally the reason why places like Target and places like Walmart and things like that have their own private label brand, which is their private label brand, their generic brand, their store brand, is still a brand. It's Up and Up. Or for Walmart, it's Equate, the Equate brand. But the reason they do that and the reason why they have Equate or Up and Up is because literally they can private label everything from toaster pastries to water bottles to sheets. So they have Up and Up sheet sets, but they also have Up and Up diapers. And they also, so you're creating a generic brand so that you can put your generic brand on anything that you want to. So the reason you do that on Amazon, especially if you're not trying to build some nationwide brand, you're just trying to sell some bundles together under your generic brand of Up and Up, or, you know, whatever you choose. That's the goal there. Now, if you're really trying to build a brand that you want people to recognize, a household name brand that you're trying to build up, of course, you want to have a pretty decent logo, a really catchy, fun name for your particular brand, but realizing that, like, you're not, especially Amazon sellers don't always sell the same thing. We can sell coffee mugs, we can sell t-shirts, we can sell anything. And if I have this generic overall brand, then I don't have to worry about it. I can have those things same as Target or Walmart. But if you're really, if you're making baby blankets and you've got Susie's Baby Blankets and you want to, you know, and you're branding yourself as Susie Baby Blankets, but then you want to sell something else, then it's going to be awkward to have to be like, okay, Susie's Baby Blankets made this item, except for it's, you know, branded by Susie's Baby Blankets, yet you're selling auto parts. It's just disconnected. And so making sure that you pick a brand name if you're going all wide. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't sell the auto parts under Susie's Blankets. It just means that it's going to look awkward when somebody's buying your Dodge Ram tailgate part and you're selling it under the brand of Susie's Favorite Things or Susie's Baby Blankets, because that's what you registered your trademark with. So that's awkward. And so you want to register a bunch of trademarks for a bunch of random brands. You want to get something that over encompasses everything, because once you're trademarked, you can sell in any category on Amazon with your trademark name. Anything. So auto parts of this net. So if Equate is the Walmart brand, the generic brand, they could sell everything from toilet paper to bath towels. And it's no big deal because it's their Equate brand. Which one comes first, the trademark or the brand registry, the chicken or the egg? The trademark comes first. You can't brand register without a trademark. So you need a trademark first. So you need to pick your name first and do those things. But you can also make that thing for sale somewhere else. You can show that in use in different ways. You can have your own website. You can show it in use on your own Facebook page. So if that's something that you're like, well, how do I sell it on Amazon and show that it's in use if it's not in use because it's not registered? Chicken or the egg, right? You can show your product in use anywhere on the web. You can show it in use at a store. You can show it in use on your thing. You can have a website. You can buy the .com for $12 of susiesbabyblankets.net, and you can just put a picture of it on there with a shopping cart. I mean, there's lots of ways to do it. Does it cost money? Yep. You're in business. Yep. Cost money. Yep. All right, moving on. If I want to get some individual items back from Amazon to change them into bundles, how do I do that? You go into your inventory, you type your ASIN or your item, and you click to the right and you click a create a removal order. You create a removal order, you put your home address or your warehouse address or wherever, you know, Timbuktu you want to send it to, and you create the removal order for that item. Then you can close the listing or delete the listing that you made if you want to, or you just, you know, close it out, and then you have your bundles back at your house. They charge you sometimes. They have free removal periods where you can remove different things, and sometimes they charge you money, like 50 cents a unit, to bring it back to you. I've done this many times where I've repurposed a bundle that wasn't doing as well as I thought it would, and that's the majority of that. Do I think Amazon's oversaturated? No. It depends on what niche you're going into. I mean, don't go to Amazon and try to sell all the top 100 things in every category. Yeah, that's oversaturated. There's tons and tons and tons of products and niches out there to be able to sell millions and billions of products. So there's not every single category is, but are you going to have to do some work to find some categories that find the sweet spot between supply and demand? Absolutely. That's business. That's work. And if this wasn't work, then everybody would just be sitting on the beach with me having a cocktail and we wouldn't be working. So it's not oversaturated, but you have to look at categories that people are buying from but aren't oversaturated with product. Is there a template I recommend for designing a website for wholesale companies to look at? What are the important features? A shopping cart, but we talked about that already. Shopify. That training is going to be in the hub coming up probably in August or September. I have a lot of kinks to work out with that. So that'll be in there to be able how to create a Shopify store, and you can link your Amazon store to your Shopify store automatically. It imports all of your products that you're selling on Amazon into your Shopify store, and voila, you have a shopping cart off of Amazon that your wholesalers can look at, and you can design it and make it look fancy if you want to, make it look pretty, brand it, whatever. You can put your pretty face on it. It won't matter, but it will give you a little bit more legitimacy for wholesale companies to look at you if you want that. When I'm vetting a possible bundle, does rank carry a higher priority than the amount of relevant listings, or vice versa? Either way, what's the range I should be looking for? Jackie, that's a great question. Does rank carry a higher priority? Not as much. Why? Because bundle ranking items and single ranking items aren't the same thing. Of course, if your single unit item is on Amazon and you're considering turning it to a bundle, yeah, you want to look at it. We have to look at the who, what, when, where, why. If you have a bundle with a high sales rank, you have to ask yourself why. Why? And a sales rank is a snapshot in time, right? So the sales rank right now could be 212,000, but yesterday it could have been less than that, and 2 days ago it was fine. Is it high consistently? As in nobody buys it. Why is the sales rank high? Maybe we could talk about sales rank forever. Why is sales rank high? Well, are they out of stock? Are they Are they doing anything with that? Is it out of stock? Does it have terrible pictures? Is it optimized? Why is that listing not being found or purchased? Is there too much competition? So you have to think about all of those things first, but look at it. Why? Because it might be that it has a low value. No one really wants to pay $10.99 for one set of cake boards, but they'll pay $19.99 for three sets of cake boards. So the idea there is the bundles create this perceived value that the intrinsical single item doesn't create, right? So the one item that it doesn't create that kind of value. But when you feel like you're getting three items in the same bundle and it's only $8 more than the original, it feels like more value, right? So it also looks like that to the customer. And you know, it has to do with those things. But you have to determine why the rank is high to begin with. So if you think about that, that's one thing. The more relevant to me is how many direct competitors you have. Go back to the wholesale bundles course and look at the section where we talk about supply and demand, and we talk about apples to oranges versus apples to apples business comparisons. Comparing blue striped towels with Mickey Mouse towels is not the same thing. It's not the same search at all. Are they both towels? Yes, they both might be bundles. But blue towels versus Mickey Mouse towels are two totally different searches. So making sure that when you're doing your comparison, that you're comparing apples to apples. If it's a, you know, newborn baby boy gift set, make sure that that's what you type in and you only look at those things that are gift sets. Those are your direct competitors. And they're only direct competitors if they have something very similar of what you want to put into it. So think about that when it comes to your bundles. What is the biggest reason that people fail or quit at this business? Oh, Chris, you should win a prize just for asking that. I absolutely love that question. Because they quit too soon, because they don't understand all the rules, because they try to go in 512 different directions. Stay in the lane. Whatever lane you pick, pick one. If you're going to do merch by Amazon, do merch by Amazon. If you're going to do, you know, all these different things everywhere else, you know, that's where people get, they muddy the waters. They get confused. You know, they're not staying the course. They're not trying it for a longer period of time. They fail because they don't know their numbers. Know your numbers. Know that maybe in the first 3 months you might not make profit until you really understand the system and the processes. You need to understand what you're doing. Understanding research, legitimate research. You guys, this is not a get-rich-quick business. It is an actual business. It's a business that you have to set up and you have to understand, you have to do some work for. Once you get the hang of it and the process for it, you can start outsourcing things and you don't have to do them all yourself. But I think a lot of people quit before they even get to a profit zone because they're trying to chase too many shiny objects. Well, these people say the RA is the best. These people say I should spend $50,000 on a private label and that's the, you know, holy grail of Amazon. And these people say wholesale bundles and these people say there's no money in wholesale and all the different things. Pick a lane and stick with it, and stick with it for a long enough period of time to see if it's, number one, if it's the right fit for you, and number two, if you're doing it correctly and you're following, you know, the patterns and the formulas. Thank you for being a loyal listener. If you are ready to take your business to a whole new level, I'm ready to work with you. Visit mommyincome.com/coach to schedule your one-on-one call today. I'll be back next week with more strategies to help you succeed. Until then, step small and dream big.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Amazon Files podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes by heading over to mommyincome.com/review. The Amazon Files will be back again next week. Thanks again for listening.